Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today I have the pleasure of having just a great guy who I was fortunate enough to connect with a couple, 3 years ago. And he does so many amazing things within the Lyme community. But of course, he is also a Lyme survivor. So I'm excited to have him. He's going to share his personal journey with Lyme disease. He is a musician. He is an author. We'll talk about his book, his Ticked Off Foundation, his Lyme Recovery Clinic, all the things that he's doing in the community. So lots to unfold during this episode. So I'm super excited. Greg Kirk, thank you so much for joining me. And it's always great to see you again.
Great to see you, Tanya. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. So where do we go? I'll let you take it off with when and where did your journey start?
Unexpectedly, when I moved to Connecticut, you know, which is where they discovered Lyme disease. Excuse me. My wife and I moved here in 2000. And within a couple of years, I started having some symptoms that were not even traditional Lyme symptoms. And like most people who I've talked to now, I've talked to probably over 1,000 Lyme patients, probably even double that maybe. I didn't pull a tick off of me. I didn't find a tick. I didn't have a bullseye rash or any of that stuff. So, and my symptoms were really based around eating. I was perfectly healthy until I would eat a meal. And then I'd feel really spacey and tired and get migraines and start having all kinds of health issues related to food. And so I thought, all right, I had read about leaky gut syndrome. I thought I had that. And then, so I went down a 2-year rabbit hole of trying to figure out what that was all about. Looking back a few years later, I had gotten a spider bite in my sleep that really swelled up on my leg. And I'm pretty certain that spiders are one of the, because they can suck your blood like a tick can, they can also pass the same pathogens. And then years later, I've talked to people who've gotten mosquito bites that have developed a bullseye rash.
Pretty much whatever can suck our blood, right? They can give it right back to us. Yeah,
exactly. So whatever, I didn't know. I did some initial Lyme tests, you know, the ones that are cheap and easy and don't work, like LabCorp, Quest Diagnostics, those kind. Tested negative. And so 2 years in, I went to see a naturopath, and now I'm down into the weeds. We've tried everything, all these really invasive tests. I swallowed a radioactive pill to do a thyroid reuptake test, and they literally ran a Geiger counter near my throat, and they told me I couldn't sleep next to my wife that night because my wife was pregnant, afraid I might give her radiation. You know, ridiculous things that we go through with these tests.
But you know, sometimes we're so desperate that we'll kind of do whatever they say, whatever they want to throw at us, right? You know, sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can't sleep next to your pregnant wife, something doesn't sound super safe right there.
No. So I, you know, fast forward, I got diagnosed by a naturopath who just looked, she asked me to log a week's worth of my symptoms, you know, in a little diary that I'd put together prior to coming to see her. And she looked at it and said, I can tell you by your symptoms, you got Lyme disease. We'll give you a better test. And I tested positive. So she started put me on doxycycline, oral doxycycline. And I started feeling worse. And I told her that. And she said, oh, this is good. You're having a Herxheimer reaction. This means, you know, so just stay on the antibiotics until you feel better. 6 years later, after doing 3 PICC lines, Bicillin injections, multiple oral antibiotics. My health was so bad. I'd gotten my heart got jabbed by one of the PICC line insertions. I developed a C. diff infection because of all the antibiotics I was doing. When I asked about probiotics, they just said eat yogurt, you know, which is ridiculous. Wow. And then I finally got walking pneumonia that was not treatable. Like I just wasn't responding to any treatment after three months of pneumonia. So,
well, yeah, you have 6 years of antibiotics in you, right? Your body doesn't want any more.
No, my immune system
not
was
doing the job.
Right, my immune system was shot. My gut was shot, which is where your immune system is, and so I was forced out of Western medicine. I mean, I didn't want to. I trusted all these guys, all these people, these doctors, these Western medicine doctors were very nice people, but they had a limited toolbox and it involved pharmaceuticals. So when I complained of fatigue, they gave me Adderall. When I complained of pain, they gave me opioids. So, you know, at different points, I was taking multiple oral antibiotics, an opioid and Adderall, I was like a zombie, and I was working a corporate job, barely keeping it together. So I finally thought these people are killing me, you know, and I need to do something outside of that. So I contacted Dr. Zhang in Manhattan, who's not far from where I'm in Connecticut, and went on his Chinese medicine herbs, and holy cow, did I start herxing really, really, really hard with that. So I realized, wow, okay, the herbs, all these doctors told me herbs are a joke. There's nothing stronger than, you know, antibiotics. Why would you look outside of Western medicine? We've been, you know, working on this for 150 years. This is the best of the best, you know, scientists know what they're talking about. Well,
right. But hindsight, right? Like long before that, our, you know, old ancestors, this is what they used, is these herbs and natural remedies.
Herbal treatments have been around for
phased out and big pharma took over, right?
Right. The herbal remedies have been around for thousands of years, not just 150 years. And, you know, guess what? They work and they don't have side effects. They have side benefits. So they actually have. So some of the herbs that I was taking to fight Lyme were also anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer and all these other beneficial things. So I didn't find that treatment was complete. I did a bit of Buhner protocol for about half a year and it got me a little bit better. But it wasn't until I got on the Cowden protocol that I got into remission. It took me about a year and a half. And got into remission right around 2010, 2011. And not long after that, I thought, you know what, I want to give back. I need to make sense of what I went through, because I had a really bad dark night of the soul where I almost died of a heart attack from that PICC line insertion that jabbed my heart. And, you know, I had this come to Jesus moment of like, what am I doing? What's happening to me? You know, and I went from the victim mentality of what did I do to deserve this to why is this happening to me? There's got to be a reason. Yeah. And my reason that I figured out was I'm walking, you know, the dark night of the soul. And so I can use this as a gift of experience to tell people what I went through. And so they don't have to. And to give them hope that, look at this, I was on the edge of death. I didn't die. You don't have to go, you don't have to be an idiot like me and stay on antibiotics for 6 years. You can try
learn what not to do by Greg.
Hey, use me as a cautionary tale if you must. But you know, listen, I survived. I went through it. You don't have to go through that. You can do certain herbal treatments to help you get better and also do other things. So Lyme disease became a life-changing situation for me. I realized that I needed to change my diet. I needed to concentrate on my mood. You know, I know when I was in the mode of fight or flight, where I was angry that this had happened to me. Why me? Why did this happen to me? And also, I was in fear that I was going to die. But when I had that night where I almost did die, I was like, okay, good. Let's get it over with, kind of thing. And I didn't die. I didn't fear death anymore because I've been there. And it was like, okay, I feel better on treatment when I'm not angry and I'm not afraid. That's something that's actually like 50% of what helped me get better. Right. So I started monitoring my mood. I was really into the reading about Dr. Wayne Dyer has, you know, the power of intention, and that, you know, the whole idea that your thoughts create emotions. The emotions can settle in your body like frequencies, and it like attracts like. So if you're thinking shitty thoughts, you're going to have bad things come to you. Or if you have positive thoughts, positive things will happen. And all you have to do is just try it. And it's funny because I just read somebody's post on Facebook recently who said, positive thinking doesn't work. Don't put that crap on me. You know, this false hope that you're, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think it boils down to this. I posted something about 3 or 4 years ago that sums it all up. Either you get bitter or you get better. The yes. choice is yours. It is literally your choice. So you're either going to get bitter or you're going to get better. And I tried both on for size. Believe me, I did the bitter road for years and it didn't make me feel better. When I finally let go of that, I'm like, maybe life is beautiful. Look at all aside from the disease, look at all this great stuff around me, my family, my dog, you know, all my friends. And when I started just focusing on that instead of the negative stuff, also my symptoms, I stopped focusing on my symptoms so much. And guess what? They started softening up and eventually going away. When I stopped monitoring my treatment, like, oh, did it work today? Has it worked yet? Has it worked yet? Has it worked yet? You know, that kind of thing that we tend to do. I just relaxed. I just did the treatment. I let go of my expectations. Guess what? It started working better. So I just kind of like started focusing on my life. All right, now that I'm not going to die, what am I going to do? You know, why did this happen to me? And like I said, to me, it was a gift of experience. It was like, okay, it's like when somebody climbs a mountain and they come back and they tell their story, you know, they did something really hard, that death defying. People like those stories. They find it interesting because they don't want to have to do that too. So I felt like my story was a bit like that. You know, I went to the edge of death. I came back and, you know, here's my story. You know, so I wrote a book called The Gratitude Curve. And the punchline is, I am grateful for my experience. You know, I'm not grateful for the pain I went through. I don't ever want to experience anything like that. Of course, I'm not saying I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for being able to tell the story and giving hope to people. And it's changed my life. I mean, I went from working a corporate job and just, you know, really focusing on kind of the American dream type stuff of making money and all that stuff and having a nice house and a nice car to helping people every day. That's what I do now every day. So,
and our biggest reward is it just fills our heart. It's just amazing. And so I want to touch on a couple of things that you just talked about. So yeah, like get bitter or better, right? Like I love those. Yeah. And sometimes we have to get bitter first, right? And that's okay, right? It's our journey. We can do what we want. But I talk so often about mindset and how it plays such a huge role in healing. And it's hard because a lot of people, you know, they have a hard time grasping that. I get it, right? Like we've been there, we know this. Yeah. And then, you know, also the thing too was I got really angry with God for many years because it was, why me? I thought I was a good person. I thought I do all the right things. And why am I suffering? But hindsight, like my Lyme journey as well was a true blessing to me. But I do also joke that, you know, God could have made the pain a little bit less than he did, and I would have been okay with that. But just the overall outcome of our journey, it truly changes our lives in ways that we didn't even know we wanted changed, right? And it really is a blessing. And so, like what you said earlier, if something isn't working, right, whether you're spiritual, religious, whatever you are, because a lot of times I'm like, you know, sometimes we just got to give things to God, right? Like we've got to accept it. We've got to embrace what's going on in our body and go with the flow type of feeling. And people are like, don't tell me God this, God that, and don't tell me to go outside the box and do herbs versus antibiotics. But you know what? If what you're doing is not working for you, what do you have to lose? Right.
Exactly.
So just like you said, try and change your mindset and just sit back and see what happens. It doesn't cost you anything to figure that one out. Right. Change your mindset, sit back and see if you see the changes and the noticeable things that you can feel from that.
100%. You know, that I posted that post a couple of years ago, and there was a guy who reached out on Facebook and he swore at me. He said, "This is easy for you to say because you got better." And all I said was, "Well, one of us is bitter and one of us is better." So thanks for proving the point, you know? You can hang on to your anger as long as you want. I'm not trying to say that you don't deserve to be angry. I mean, I certainly was, but you know, there's another saying about all this stuff is pain is inevitable, but suffering is an option. you don't have to stay in the pain forever. And some people, again, they're like, "Well, I can't help it. I'm doing treatment and I'm in pain every day. So how dare you tell me that I can just get right out of pain just like that?" And really all I'm saying is when you change your mindset, it starts to soften it up. You know, continue doing your treatments and things like that, as long as they're not harming you either. Because, you know, if you're doing some antibiotics and
6 years of antibiotics,
right,
maybe you ought to rethink things.
You're going to stay in pain. I'm sorry, but you know, outside of that, you know, doing some treatments that are helpful to you, they're going to be painful because you're going to have Herxheimer reactions and stuff. But, you know, learn about detox methods and things like that. But in the meantime, keep your mind off of, you know, stinking thinking, as they call it. So that you're focused on the things you like. And why not? Why wouldn't you want to feel good every day? You know, it's not quote unquote false hope. It's just why wouldn't you try to feel good every day? I think that's one of the reasons we're here in life, is to enjoy it. So try to enjoy it as much as you can. I understand, you know, when you're in the depths of despair and pain, that, you know, that doesn't sound possible, but I was there. It is possible. Why wouldn't you listen to that? You know, come on. But anyway, so when that was all over, I wanted to help patients. I wrote the book and I wanted to help people kind of avoid all this as much as possible. So I started the Ticked Off Music Fest because of my background. I used to run an entertainment magazine in Philly way back when. I'm a musician and I used to run these big events, these big musical events. So I thought, you know, this is easy for me. I can start this benefit concert series, and I'll give money to different Lyme organizations who are raising awareness and looking for a cure. So I did that. And after about 6 months in, the people who came to the concerts surprised me. I was expecting it to be people like caregiver people or people who were there to listen to the music and then throw us a few bucks, right? But no, it was all Lyme patients, almost 100% Lyme patients. And I'm not talking Lyme patients who could walk well, or, I mean, they were showing up in wheelchairs and things like that, walkers. Wow. And they were coming to get information. So they didn't even care about the music. So all they heard was, "This has to do with Lyme disease." And they came to find out about doctors, about treatment. So it took a couple of those events where I realized this is insane that people are coming to a concert to find out more information about Lyme disease. So that's when I thought, all right, there's a big gap here. I think there's enough money being thrown around towards awareness and trying to find a cure. Nobody is really supporting patients right now. So, and helping them get on the treatment that works. So I went down that rabbit hole. I saw the treatments that don't work and I saw the ones that do. So anyway, so I started the Ticked Off Foundation in 2015. And that is a Lyme treatment foundation. So it started off just giving money to patients for whatever they needed on treatment, or we helped them pay their rent, you know, all those kinds of things. But that quickly, we couldn't sustain that. And also we had patients coming in saying, I need $20,000 to fly to Germany for hyperthermia treatment. So no, we cannot possibly support that. Plus, the other thing was this: about 50% of the patients who came back from Germany, 50% were in remission. The other 50% were not. Yeah. So this is almost like you're taking $20,000 and going to Las Vegas and spinning the wheel. And sorry, your number didn't come up. It didn't work for you. And now you're out 20 grand. So it's like, why don't we help patients with the treatments that we know has a higher percentage of recovery? And we have arrived at the Cowden protocol. And that was the one that worked for me. I have firsthand, you know, experience with it. It's what got me over the finish line with remission. CellCor is another protocol we use, and that's fantastic at getting rid of mold and parasites, which are the things that really block a lot of treatment for patients. And then we've started with the LifeWave patches, which help patients with all manner of things. So those are the three things that we offer now. And right now, so we get discounts from those companies. And then if patients have trouble staying on the treatment, even after those discounts, we have something called a micro grant program. So it's, you know, $50, $75, maybe $100 that we send to patients if they if they can't afford the treatment. And just so everyone knows, number one, the TikTok Foundation does not sell any of these products. You know, we're a nonprofit. So we don't take money from patients. We give money to patients, but if a patient can't afford even these discounts, we give them the micro grant stuff. So if you're interested in any of this, go to the tickedofffoundation.org and click on the financial aid link and fill out the form. We ask for proof of Lyme disease. So any test you've taken doesn't have to be CDC positive. If you haven't even been able to afford a test, we take doctor's notes. So a note from a doctor saying you're being treated for Lyme disease, that's good enough for us. And then proof of financial need. So if you're on any form of government assistance, or if you have a copy of last year's tax return. And we don't have a financial threshold because, you know, a couple of years ago, a patient sent us their tax form and they made $70,000 and they thought, oh, that's probably too much. But it was a family of five, and it was husband and wife and three kids. They all had Lyme, so they all needed treatment. So, you know, that's why we don't say
$700,000 a year wouldn't have covered that, right?
Exactly. So so it's a custom situation, and then we require a phone call. So I literally talk to every single person, and then to help them arrive at whatever treatment they want to do. So a lot of times, and now we've got partnerships with doctors. So a lot of times doctors will just refer them to us because they are prescribing them, you know, the Cowden protocol or elements of the Cowden protocol or CellCor or even a combination, and we get them discounts. So that's what we've been doing. And then, you know, about a year or so into that, I had patients who would come to me and say, I'm not going to qualify, but I want to get on, you know, one of these protocols and I'll pay you to help me. And I thought, all right, well, I had enough of those I started a for-profit business called the Lyme Recovery Clinic, but it's still very affordable. $100 health consult, you know, versus $1,000 from my Lyme doctor charged me $1,000 per visit. I charge $100.
That's not out of the ordinary nowadays. Yeah. Right. Sadly.
Right. But, you know, I to be clear, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a certified, you know, doctor. I am a certified health coach. And I've been trained personally by Dr. Cowden. I've been trained, you know, by the CellCor staff. I have medical advisors that I can consult if needed, who do have MDs. I have a whole range of people. And so if that's needed, but, you know, I don't often need that. You know, these protocols are pretty freestanding. You know, they get people better pretty much if you just follow the dosing guidelines and just stay on them for, you know, more than 6 months, getting a lot of patients like in the 80th percentile, getting them better. So,
wow. Yeah, no, that's incredible. And that's great because we need help for everything, right? Like every little bit going through our journey can make a huge impact, because I know for myself personally, when I was in, you know, the thick of my journey after going undiagnosed for 7 years down that rabbit hole and spending all this money and insurance not covering it because nothing was wrong with me. It's investigational. And I thought, oh yeah, right. I just want to go around and do all these tests. You know, there was a time when I was like, do I want pay for this little medication, you know, this supplement, or can I buy something organic at the grocery store? You know, right. it really was that I was that desperate. And so I get it. So all these little amounts help. And that's just fantastic that you do that. And yeah, you know, there's many, many protocols out there. And we all know that not one thing works for everyone, right?
Right.
There's a lot of protocols that, you know, have really high success rates. But I think, again, like we need to factor in so many things, right? Mindset. Let's start with the mindset, right?
Right.
Diet, lifestyle, detoxing, like so many things play a huge role in how our body is going to react to the protocol that we're taking, right?
Right.
So you can't just do part of it. You need to do the whole thing. And parasites and mold are just huge.
They are.
And it still blows my mind every day how many Lyme people that I talk to, because I volunteer my time to help people kind of navigate their journey. If they need help finding a doctor, let me know. I'll help you. And share what we learned, right? We got to do it for the good. Why did we go through this?
Right.
And so many times I talk to people and, you know, they're a few years in treatment. They're not really noticing the needle moving. And I'm like, well, what about mold and parasites? And they're like, well, what do you mean? What about it? I'm like, seriously? Have you, you know, first of all, don't test for parasites, because I can assure you it will be negative every time.
Right.
Just do a protocol is my opinion for sure.
Right.
But mold, you've got to test for mold. You've got to see if you're in mold. You've got to, it's huge. And it's not something that's talked about a lot. So.
Right. And you can't. Right. And you can be in a non-moldy environment now, but if you got exposed to black mold or some forms of severe mold, just, you know, even a few years before, it takes so long to get the mold toxin. You have to specifically do certain types of binders to get certain mold toxins out of your body. If you don't do that, or if you try treatment when you haven't gotten those mold toxins out, it's just going to make you miserable. So
yeah,
I've seen that a lot.
So talking about that, because, you know, I've been doing this podcast for several years and I've had, you know, different doctors on it. And I always love to get, of course, you know, you said, Greg, you're not a doctor. But sometimes we know just as much as they do, right? If not more, we went through it.
Yeah.
Exactly. What's your personal thought, as far as treatment? So I hear both things. Do you treat the Lyme and, you know, the co-infections, all that stuff prior to mold, after mold, during mold? My personal thought is that it either has to be in conjunction with or before. So either treat the mold first or in conjunction with the other, because I don't think you can get well if you have mold in your body. So I just was curious of what your take was on that.
Yeah. Well, I listen to what the patient's body is telling us. So the first thing I do is I start with symptoms. So, you know, in a home run situation, I've talked to a patient and I can tell by his or her symptoms, they don't have any mold issues or parasite issues. So I'll put them on, you know, on a strong protocol like the Cowden protocol, full doses. And I've had people go into full remission in 5 months, which is pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking, they're good. They're rejoining their lives. They don't need to go on any other treatment from there on after. So 5 to 6 months, wow. Done. That's amazing. Now, if I talk to a patient and they've got digestive issues, you know, and they've got multiple chemical sensitivities, they've got certain foods they can't eat, they're sensitive to certain smells and aromas, they can't go into certain stores, you know, at the mall or whatever. If someone's perfume will give them a Herx reaction, and they've got these extreme sensitivities, the telltale one is if they've got electrical shocks going through their body just randomly, then we know that there is either a combination of mold and parasites. And depending on the severity of the symptoms, you might not even be able to treat for parasites. It might just have to be mold, which is just binders, you know, for a couple of months until you get those toxins out. But so it's really based on the symptoms. So it's almost like a flow chart. Does the patient, can they eat? Do they get bloated after eating bread? you know, okay, that's an issue. That's probably, you know, parasites, or do they, you know, anyway, I won't go into all the details, but
yeah. So kind of individual based on their symptoms. And again, because we treat individually, right? Like, because not everything works for everyone. So yeah, all of our bodies are different. I want to just continue to express to the listeners out there, you've got to see if you're in mold, if you have mold, the parasites, right? Because they really can be huge in this journey if that is maybe your missing piece.
Right. And, you know, that's when I got trained by Dr. Cowden years ago, he said there's two things that can stop my treatment from working, and it's mold and parasites.
Said it from the man himself, right?
Right. Exactly. And yeah. And I used to think that basically just, all right, treat them both together, treat the parasites and the mold. Why not do that? But recently I've run into some patients who are so sensitive. I mean, I'm talking emotionally, you know, suicidal and things like that, that they cannot do any kind of treatment at all other than the detox mold treatment. So just putting them on some binders for a couple of months. But I'll tell you what, the good news is they're responding well to that. And then we'll just start picking away at going after parasites. But, you know, it's a delicate balance. Some people you can just send them on their way, do the Cowden protocol, and, you know, you're done. Good. 5-6 months. Great. Other patients, it's going to take a longer period of time and have some patience. And these patients tend to have the emotional stuff going on, the fight or flight. One of the symptoms of mold toxicity is being in fight or flight all the time. Anxiety issues to the point of panic attacks. So that's where some of the LifeWay patches help. But also, you know, one of the things that we've been offering recently through the Ticked Off Foundation is a free session with a talk therapist, or a free session with a woman. Her name is Sammy Kirschbaum. She's doing brain spotting. So it's a specific modality that helps patients get out of trauma. So those two things are offered for free. So if you go to the Ticked Off Foundation and you don't want to get on any kind of treatment, but you just want to talk to a therapist, or therapist's name is Barbara Chase. She's great at talk therapy, you know, helping to stop trauma. And she understands Lyme disease, or Sammy who does the brain spotting. You get a free session. And then from then on, if you want to continue doing sessions, it's up to you and the practitioner. They're very lovely people, both of them, very generous, and they'll do a session for as little as $20.
I love it. Yeah. And for those of you listening, Sammy was actually a guest on my show when I first launched my second podcast, which is this, Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. She was my first guest back in the beginning of May. So if you'd like to go and hear her personal Lyme journey and then kind of what Greg was talking about, what she's doing now, because there's just so many of us that go through this journey and we're like, okay, why did we do this? Right. There's gotta be an end reason why we did it. And it's because we want to do this. We want to be able to give back to the community in the various numerous ways that we're doing that. So yes, for sure. Sammy is a doll, and she does the brain retrain, the brain spotting, all of that. And you can listen to her episode and hear her journey and what she does as well.
And, you know, she's like one of the people we like to align ourselves with, someone who's been through it. Somebody's got her heart and head in the right place and wants to give back and help patients. And it's not about ego or, you know, money making. She's really about helping. I mean, she, you know, she needs to be compensated too, like anybody else. All of us, we all deserve to make a living, but, you know, understanding that we're not trying to gouge people. I mean, it's so funny in the Lyme community when people find out you're a health coach or something like that, they're like, oh, so you're making money off of Lyme patients. And I'm like, why don't you say this to the Lyme literate doctors who are charging $1,000 or $2,500 or $800 mm-hmm. for a visit that's not covered by insurance? And then, you know, I have to say, maybe this is a controversial statement, but the Lyme literate doctors harmed me the most. You know, they were the ones who were injecting me with all these things. And I know there's Lyme literate doctors that do a combination of herbal and pharmaceuticals, but, you know, I don't know why people aren't upset with them. Maybe they are, but, you know, it's like, listen, everybody's going to make a living, but there's some people who are making money off the backs of Lyme patients, you know? So.
Yeah. You know, and you did bring a good point, because, Yeah, there's, you know, back when my journey started, there was not a lot of, you know, really good, well-known Lyme literate doctors. And just because they're a Lyme literate doctor does not mean that maybe that's the best fit for you, right? Because again, I think part of it goes back to what tools do they have in their toolbox,
right?
What are they working with? What's their knowledge level? Have they personally been through Lyme, right? Because even my doctors, they're like, you know, we know what you go through, but we don't fully know, right? Because we haven't walked those shoes. And so you really need to find a Lyme literate doctor, a naturopath, whatever it is that you really resonate with, right? And trust. Right.
And like then you said, it's better if they've gotten Lyme themselves. There's that saying, you don't, when it comes to Lyme disease, you don't get it.
You'll get it till you get it. Right? I knew I could duplicate that one with you because that is the phrase for sure. You know, and then when we're talking about, you know, health coaches in our field, absolutely. There are, you know, back to the doctors, there's a lot of amazing doctors. There's a lot of questionable acts with doctors, right? Yeah. Both sides of the fence. And I think that you get that when we're talking about health coaches and life coaches and people that want to help through the journey. I think part of one of the hardest things I've learned through this journey is the people we thought were good maybe weren't as good as we thought, right? There's a lot of people out there that don't do things by the goodness of their heart again, right? No. We need to make a living, need to pay your mortgage, whatever it is. I get that. Our time is worth money, but I have sadly learned that there are too many in our Lyme community that I believe their heart is not in the right place. And that is heartbreaking. But again, that kind of goes back to one of the reasons our journey is so tough. We don't know what doctors to trust, who to believe. Yeah. Do we buy what they're trying to sell me? So I get it. You know, if you are comfortable with somebody in the Lyme community, you know, people can always reach out to me. I will share the ones that I trust, the ones that I would refer people to, right?
And
sadly, they're not everyone. But it's, you know, it's kind of the way of life, right? It's the world that we live in, I think.
Well, yeah. You know, it's also very confusing. So, you know, when I went through my experience and I started, I thought I'm going to be evangelical about telling people not to do antibiotics more than, you know, I mean, I just want to be clear. Within the first 60 days of infection, when you find the bullseye rash, you should do antibiotics. You do 4 to 6 weeks of doxycycline can stop you from going chronic, you know, so that's well established. People know that. But, you know, if you've been sick for a year or two and you go on antibiotics, it's only the confusing thing. It will help you initially. It'll knock it out of your bloodstream, but most antibiotics cannot leave the bloodstream. And what they tend to do is to push the bacteria deeper into your system and they generate biofilms and not to mention all the damage it does to your intestinal tract. So, you know, the longer you stay on them, unfortunately, you know, I didn't know this and I never would have done them for that long if I would have known. But anyway, but so I came out and I was like, stay off of antibiotics. And then I started hearing random people saying, I got better doing nothing but antibiotics. And I thought, what? Interesting. What's your story? And some people were basically like, well, I did antibiotics, but, and I'm in remission. I'm like, okay, so you're not on any kind of treatment. Well, I'm doing some herbals. Like, well, that's not remission. Okay. You're still doing treatment. But I did, you know, even after that, I talked to a few people and they were like, no, I'm in remission. I did some antibiotics at this point and I did this and I'm not on any kind of treatment. So I'd say it's about 1% of the people I've talked to or less. So I had to, you know, back off of what I was saying and like all antibiotics are not bad. And there is a window of time to do them. And there's about 1% of the people that I talked to who I've never talked to anybody who did 6 years of antibiotics and went into remission.
So you're one of a kind. You're that overachiever.
Overachiever. I was just going to say idiot, but anyway.
You said it, not me.
right. But, you know, so anyway, they have their place. They have their place. And also I've talked to people who are like, this doctor, go to this doctor and do their antibiotic protocol. And I'm, you know, people will chime in. I did it and it harmed me. I'm not, you know, it's not good. And then I'll hear a few people like, no, this guy saved my life. So it's really confusing. You know, it's very, very confusing.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. And but I'm glad that you brought up that too, because I'd like to touch on it, the whole herbal versus antibiotics, right? So when I was trying to get my diagnosis, and it took me 7 years, and I ended up, you know, bedridden with a caregiver, and I didn't know my name. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, white jackets, you know, like I'm banning you, right?
Yeah.
I can't do. And I got a really bad taste for all traditional Western medicine.
Right.
In every avenue. And going along, I was like you, I was like, antibiotics, no way. But I'm learned over time, right? Like, because we get bitter, then we get better, right? Went through the bitter phase, the bitter at the white jackets. But the thing is yes, if you get a new tick bite or if you have new symptoms, absolutely. I think 6 to 8 weeks of antibiotics, fantastic. Give it a go, right? Because let's not turn chronic. But then I hear the same thing. A lot of people get well on antibiotics and a lot of people don't. And I'm not dogging them. I think that there's a time and place for everything. But what I do say to you is that it is known that antibiotics can do a number on our gut, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the herbs have so many amazing side effects or side benefits that just don't make it your first option. If you're chronic Lyme, you've had years of issues, don't just run to antibiotics. Try something more natural first. And then if that doesn't work or you need additional support, by all means, give it a try, right? Because our bodies respond to everything so differently. I'm more open to a lot of the other things that I wasn't initially, right? But just don't make the wrong choice your first choice.
Right. And you know, I want to tell a story about why I stayed on antibiotics for so long. I just wasn't dutifully.
Please do, Greg, because I would like to know. And so the listeners probably would too.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, you know, my doctors did say, stay on them until you feel better. So I didn't just like a robot follow what they were doing. What they told me, it was, I was listening to my body. So whenever I would go off of the antibiotics, I would tank so badly. I would go downhill. All my symptoms would flare up. I could feel the bacteria coming back, all that stuff. So until I got back on antibiotics. And so I would feel like 15% better. The problem is it never got over 15%, right? So I felt like, all right, this is keeping the wolves, you know, from my door, but I'm not going into remission. So, you know, I asked my doctor, is this what I have to do all the time? Cause I'd gotten 3 PICC lines. And on the third one, he like predicted what was going to happen to me. He said, you're going to feel good for a while. We're going to pull the PICC line and you're not going to be on antibiotics. He goes, but in about 3 months, it could come roaring back. That's the gestation cycle of many of the bacteria. So they'll replicate and they'll come back. And so if that happens, then we need to do another PICC line. I'm like, so this is my life. Every 3 months I'm doing a PICC line. This can't be right. And I even said to him, why do all the Lyme treatments have to be dangerous or painful? And he just kind of laughed. I'm like, that's not funny. This is terrible. So that's what was going on. I was staying on the antibiotics to keep me alive. And then I would go into this weird honeymoon phase where I'd feel about 15% better from the antibiotics. And I would get into some functionality and think, all right, this is it. This time it's going to be the time where I do go into remission, but it never happened. And then the longer I stayed on antibiotics, it started harming me in other ways, harming my gut. You know, I was getting C. diff infections. And then finally it just got to the point where I got pneumonia and was like, okay, my body was fully rejecting them. So that's why it's this really deceptive situation that happens where the antibiotics do make you feel better for the first few weeks or even months. But then if you understand what's going on, when I went through training with Dr. Calden, he showed slides of what the bacteria does. You know, it creates biofilm. It's hyper reproduces. It's basically like throwing gasoline on a fire. And so it drives it out of the bloodstream. And that's when the spirochetes go into your bone and tissue and muscle and everything like that. So it's just really aggravating a bad situation, even though in the initial phases you're feeling like, and it does kill it in your bloodstream. So whatever colonies are in your bloodstream, it is, and you do have Herx reactions, of course, and all that. So you do feel initially better, but it ultimately it's pushing it deeper into your system. So that's that. And so you're going to feel lousy months and months later. And that's what happened to me. So the good news is the herbals pass through the, at least like with the Cowden protocol, it passes through the tissue barrier, the blood brain barrier, and all these things. And it goes after all these, not just Lyme, but all the co-infections, Bartonella, Babesia, Rickettsia, Ehrlichia, and even viruses like Epstein-Barr. So it's like, wow. The other problem was my doctors were saying, all right, they kept me on antibiotics just for Borrelia, you know, which is the Lyme bacteria. And then they thought after a year, like, well, you're not improving. So let's test to see if you have Bartonella. Like, I couldn't even believe it, that I didn't even know there was a co-infection. So yeah, I tested positive for Bartonella. And so then they gave me another antibiotic just for that. And then a year later, they're like, all right, you're still not better. Oh, let's test you for Babesia. Oh, let's give you, you know, and because Babesia is not a bacteria, it's a parasite, they give me antiparasitic. So they were doing it one thing at a time, you know, one co-infection at a time, when almost every patient I've talked to has Lyme. The three B's is what I call it, the Borrelia, Bartonella, and Babesia. Almost every single patient I've talked to has that. And then the Epstein-Barr usually goes along with it, which creates fatigue. So if you're not treating all those at once, or if you're treating using one antibiotic to treat each, it's just a lot, it's not a good situation.
And it's what, like you said, with most of us, right? It's not just the Borrelia, it's not just the Lyme. And that's right. That was what how I came up with what I think is a brilliant name for my podcast, Lyme and Beyond, right? Because it's beyond. Right. It's the co-infections, right. The Epstein-Barr, the mold, the parasites, like all the stuff. And you have to address it all. And yeah, I can see how, you know, you have to do one individual antibiotic for every single thing. And so many herbs nowadays, you know, they're like concoctions of multiple herbals in like one tincture, right? And so you're getting so many more benefits. And so anyways, of course, you know, everybody does their own due diligence, but I am glad that you shared your 6-year antibiotic story, because I thought, gosh, what was he thinking? But so you were in a sense trying to be your own advocate, like, let me stop these, let me see what happens. No, I feel worse, I must need these, right?
Yeah.
And it's scary because we don't know what we're doing, right? Like, there's not a Lyme 101 for dummies, you know? And it's kind of this learning curve, and we're trying to figure it out. A lot of times we have so much brain fog, we're not trusting our thoughts, right? But I think that the key thing is when you find the protocol that you're going to go with, right? Like, have that mindset. This is going to be the one, this is going to work, you know, and reinforce that positivity, and then give it 4 months, 5 months. Right. Let's see if the needle is moving, right? If it's moving, you're doing well. If it's not moving or barely moving, then maybe this isn't the great fit for you right now. It doesn't mean these items may not be beneficial to you in 6 months from now, but right now they're not. But you got it. You got to give it some time, but put a time frame on it, right? And then that's why tracking your symptoms, you know, is a great way to be able to journal and see the progress that you are making, because our brains are a lot foggy when we're going through this, right? So write it down on paper.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, so, Greg, just one thing I wanted to say. So I, in the middle of all of this, shortly after I started the TikTok Foundation, I worked with a couple of other Lyme advocates and some doctors, and I created a free, you were saying, oh, there's no Lyme 101, but I have created something called LymeKnowledge.com. So it's literally the website I would have wanted when I first got sick. So it talks about prevention, it talks about symptoms and diagnosis, and it talks about treatments. So it's got all the details of the Cowden protocol, CellCore, Buhner, Beyond Balance, you know, all these protocols. So you can, and Zhang protocol. So you can make your choice of, look on there. It's got more, so, you know, the amazing thing is, so the Buhner protocol, you actually need to buy Dr. Buhner's book and read it. So we had somebody do that and then put all the details on our website. So
that's just a great resource right there to be able to use. LymeKnowledge.com. Okay. We will, for all the listeners out there, as always, in the description of this episode, we're going to have all of Greg's links in there. TikTok Foundation, LymeKnowledge.com, information on his book, The Gratitude Curve, all the stuff, all the ways that you can reach out to Greg if you want, and then also the free resources in the link. So it's amazing. Greg, it's always so fun to chat with you, and I appreciate your time, you joining me, and just what you're doing in the community. We need people working from their heart, and I believe that you do. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. God bless, Tanya. I love what you're doing, and thank you for having me on today.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.